Continuing now our verse-by-verse study through 1 Samuel, we come to chapter 21, verse 8. And Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. And it says, And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under your hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. Now, I hope you go back and listen at least to the last part of our former message, beginning in chapter 21, verse 1, because it sets the stage for what's going on here. David says he's on a special mission for the king, but he doesn't take the time to grab his sword or any other weapon. You don't have to think about that one too long before you realize that it's strange. The more pressure a liar feels, the more brainless their lies become. Liars deceive themselves into believing their lies sound good, when just about anyone can see right through them. Verse 9. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you slew in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you will take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it me. There was a time when David trusted God to give him victory over a bear and a lion when he was a shepherd. There was a time when he trusted God to give him victory over the giant Goliath with only a sling and a stone. But now look at David. He lies to get a sword. Pressure, pain, and opposition can tear away at a person's faith sometimes. 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. You know, of all the places to run, Gath had to be the worst choice. Honestly, David was known by the people of Gath. David was not liked by the people of Gath. Gath was Goliath's hometown. And here comes David, the man who killed Goliath, carrying the dead man's sword. All the pressure has really gotten to David. He's acting without thinking. We want to be careful about making hasty decisions when we are under pressure. If it's at all possible, put off decision making until you calm down a little bit, have time to pray. 11. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? You know, the only thing crazier than David going to Goliath's hometown is the king of Goliath's hometown accepting David. That seems to be happening, and the other Philistines are very uneasy about it. 12. And David laid up these words in his heart and was so afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. David feared the king of Gath because right now David doesn't believe God's word, which was, David, you're going to be the next king. That has slipped out of his mind. At least he's not believing it. And that's why there's fear. Christians have a choice. Trust God and believe his words, or do not trust God and allow circumstances to control your attitudes. Okay? Christians have a choice. Trust God and believe his words, or do not trust God and allow circumstances to control your attitudes. If we do not trust God, then when circumstances are good, we will feel good. But if the circumstances are bad, we will feel bad. Or if they are good, but there is a chance that they might get bad, then we'll worry about that. And that's where David is right now. Verse 13. And he changed his behavior before them. This is David, feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. David pretends that he is insane so that the Philistines will think that he is harmless. He's just a nut. 14. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Even unsaved folks have acceptable standards of behavior, and insanity is not one of them. It's not comfortable to be around someone who is irrational. 15. Have I need of madmen that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Achish had a wife and a daughter who, according to history, were both insane. And that's why he says, do I lack the insane? Do I lack madmen or something? That you brought another one my way? Chapter 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. David is now hiding from Saul in a cave, and it's not long before his whole family, including the brothers who had been in Saul's army, joined David. Kings played rough in those days. If you happened to be in trouble with the king, so was your entire family. That's just the way it operated. You know, sometimes it takes hard times to draw a family together, and that certainly was the case here. 2. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And so the ones who owed money, the ones who were in trouble, the ones who were not happy with life, all came to David. David accepted the unwanted because he knew what it was like to be unwanted. David is a picture of Christ, who will always accept those who no one else wants. 3. And David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray you, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. David had Moabite connections because his great-great-grandmother was Ruth. Remember the book of Ruth in Old Testament? A few books ago? She was from Moab. So his great-great-grandmother was from Moab. And like David, what he's doing here, honor your father and mother. May seem old-fashioned today, but it is still one of the Ten Commandments, and it is what David is doing right now. 4. And he brought them, his parents, before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while David was in the hold. David's parents lived with the king of Moab all the while he was hiding and on the run. His parents were very old at this time, so it must have been hard for them to move, and it must have been hard for David to see them have to move. You don't pack up. You get older, you just want to stay home. You don't want to have to move out of your house. 5. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold. Depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. God is directing the steps of David. The prophet tells David to make a move and get out of that cave. David is on the run. He is living in cold caves, and yet God is still directing his steps. Bad times do not mean that God has left us, and they do not mean that he has stopped leading us. 6. When Saul heard that David was discovered, that he was back in Judah, in other words, and the men who were with him. Now Saul abode in Gibeah under a tree in Ramah, having his spear in his hand, and all his servants were standing about him, which took courage. Up until this time, Saul didn't know where David was hiding, but someone told him, or he heard it somewhere. So now he knows. 7. Then Saul said unto his servants who stood about him, "Hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds?" As king, Saul had plenty of wealth to use to buy loyalty. But how pitiful it is when a man has to buy friends. 8. He says, "Does David have the power to give you these things?" Verse 8, "That all of you have conspired against me, and there is none who shows me that my son has made a league with the son of Jesse, and there is none of you that is sorry for me, or shows unto me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait, as at this day?" Saul, just listen to this ranting. He is a spiritual and mental basket case. And that's not surprising. The two generally go together. He's upset because no one feels sorry for him. This guy is a baby in a big body. Saul has been trying to murder innocent David. And part of his punishment is to be paranoid that David is trying to kill him and that everybody is against him. Well, he keeps it up much longer. Everybody will be against him. 9. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, "I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub." Doeg, the ungodly, no account, opportunist, tells on David. He informs. Doeg doesn't care about justice. He just wants to get in good with a king who can reward him. Living for this world and not for eternity. Verse 10. And Doeg continues talking to Saul. Speaking of David, he inquired of the Lord for him, or I should say the priest, Ahitub. I should say Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub. He's talking about him. And he, the high priest, inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. And of course, everything Doeg said was true. The priest did every one of those things for David. And I'll tell you something, every one of those things was the correct thing to do. Especially that part about consulting the Lord on behalf of David. That should be enough to shut Saul's mouth right there. The high priest consulted the Lord, talked to God about David, and then he gave him food and that sword. And if Saul was a godly man, he'd leave it at that. But of course, he is not a godly man, as we will see next time. This is going to get bad, really bad.